I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to the South Dakota Farmers Union Show. It's show 3870 in our original It's Your Business series. Let's see. In the studio today, is there a Luke?
Yes, sure is.
And what's your last name?
Rendell.
What's your title?
Well, today it's Communications and Legislative Specialist.
Now, you brought somebody from Beersford, is that right?
We sure did. Larry Bergen, he's a board member of South Dakota Farmers Union. He was actually out with us on the fly-in, and he's got a tremendous experience in Farmers Union and in agriculture in general. So, good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
You know, we've got quite the show put together. We've got Rob LaRue that I just had to send a quick note, said, can we get the president of the National Farmers Union on? Of course, we visited his office. You know, the least he could do is return a call, and he did. And then Luke Minion. Do you guys know Luke Minion? Do you know much about him?
Well, we know that, you know, with Holstone, his objective with trying to get the business going here in Sioux Falls. So excited to hear what Luke has to say this morning.
I'm curious, too, as to what will be said. Actually did the interview, and one of the questions I had to get was about the clothespins that are showing up in the TV ads. Do we need clothespins? And he was very sincere about answering that, and he takes it all in stride. He doesn't predict if they're going to win or if they're going to lose, but there's more and more talk about it. So let's get started with something other than clothespins. Are you okay with that this morning?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's talk about National Cooperative Month. So, Larry, Luke, kind of lead us down the road. I see one in three Americans are co-op members. I didn't know that was the case.
Yeah, co-ops have been really, well, Farmers Union goes back to, it was started 100 years ago, and it was started to help cooperatives. So, you know, the idea of cooperatives is to get farmers to own their own company. And that's what we do. My local, I'm on the board of Southeast Farmers Cooperative. We're down by the Akron exit as our main office with locations Centerville, Beersford, El Point, and shuttle loading facility between El Point and Jefferson. But all the money that we earn stays in our local communities. To give you an example of that, in Centerville, the last year, we had a little corner of our property that we couldn't use. And with the help of CoBank, we had matching funds. CoBank's also a cooperative. We were able to provide them the land and money to help them to get started with building a new fire station. So that's just one of the examples of money staying in your local community and helping your local community.
What would you say to that, Luke?
Well, Larry hit it right on the head. Cooperatives are such an important part of, you know, rural South Dakota economy and agriculture in general. So many rural communities are served by co-ops, whether it's telecommunications, you know, agronomy, any kind of ag services, buying products, selling products, you know, even in the financial industry as well. So they serve a very important role, allowing members to co-op together, basically to, you know, to be able to compete and to have products and services that otherwise they wouldn't be able to have access to. So they were probably a lot more predominant earlier in the days than they are today. But it's definitely something that we need to kind of keep focus on, just because there is so much value in cooperatives and what can be accomplished by a formation of a cooperative.
Now, you may have given these numbers, but let me give them again. 29,000 cooperatives operate in every section of the U.S. economy. 233 million people are served by insurance companies owned or are affiliated with co-ops. And the U.S. cooperative generates 2 million jobs each year. Larry, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, it's an amazing fact. You know, we've in the cooperative world, we like at Beersford, we used to have three different cooperatives. Now there's only one. We've seen consolidation in cooperatives, and you know, competition between cooperatives. But it's good for the economy to have choices and not just be, you know, one big company out there. So in my area, people have choice between two or three different cooperatives and two or three different private companies. So it really helps.
So when we talk about the co-ops, most people don't put the kind of numbers that we did to them this morning, the kind of service that's there, but they're there to help them.
Yeah, and our co-op, we're full service. We have agronomy, grain, brokerage, fuel. We supply everything, and it's run locally. I'm on the board. It's all run by local employees. Money goes back to the communities. Like in Beersford, at one time, I think we still are. We're the largest property taxpayer in the city of Beersford. So that helps the schools, and we have education funds that we help schools, you know, whether it's scoreboards or whatever, and, you know, Wakanda, Centerville, Beersford, all the surrounding schools. So it's something you'll see. You might not see a private up on a scoreboard, but you'll see our cooperative name.
Well, and Larry, I would just ask, you know, if your cooperative wasn't around, what kind of an impact would that have to the community? Where would people go for services like that?
Well, we're big enough. I would assume somebody would buy us out. But then you lose, you know, then the money's not staying in the community. If it's a private, it's going to stockholders, where right now the stockholders are the people that use the business.
Well, and I think the point being hit home there is just the value that cooperatives can contribute to a community. And they're just their significance overall.
You know, we've got a couple of players that are going to join us here in a little bit. We can talk co-ops. We can talk farm bills. We can talk a lot of things. We've got Rob LaRue. Already have Senator Rounds on the phone. Are you guys ready to go to break and come back? And we'll see if we can pick up and see if we can get these guys that probably don't want to talk much. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Welcome back. This is the South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Luke is here. Larry Bergen is here. And Rob LaRue is going to join us, president of the National Farmers Union. But we had this guy named Rounds. Let's see. I think I saw Rounds in D.C., in Mitchell, and Huron. Is that right? Are you the same Rounds?
Well, I thought you were sleeping in the last time that we had a chance to visit, but clearly you weren't.
Nice to have you with us this morning.
Absolutely appreciate the opportunity.
One of the things that they want to talk about this morning, and we'll let Larry and Luke kind of lead us off, is the importance of the Farm Bill and what is needed. Members, what are they asking for, Larry?
Well, Senator, I was on the state FSA committee 10 years ago, and one of the problems we had is if the bill is not written right, USDA, FSA can't change it because it's law. So I think it's very important that things need to be put in there and written the right way.
Well, I the other side of that, and I just got to be a little bit careful on this because I do agree with you. You got to be able to allow for some flexibility. But the other side of it is if you simply congressionally delegate the authority to make the rules up based on what they think, if you get the wrong rulemakers in there, you can do some real damage to farmers and ranchers. And so you got to be careful how you clarify what the intent is by the legislation, but still allow for the flexibility to respond to the situations at hand. And that's the really careful part about it. I tell people that when you're writing law, the more flexibility you give to a bureaucrat, the more the possibility is that you're going to end up with something you didn't want. So we got to be a little bit careful on that, but I guess you still got to be able to have the agency be able to have enough flexibility to respond for the financial needs based upon whatever crisis exists at the time.
Senator Rounds, good morning. Luke Rendell here, Farmers Union. We were out for the fly-in here just a few weeks ago now, and we appreciated you visiting with us. When we were out at the fly-in, we were, you know, conversing our farm bill priorities to different Congress people out there. You know, some of our issues that we wanted to see addressed in the farm bill is, you know, making sure that we have a farm safety net and that there's permanent disaster programs out there and just the importance of crop insurance. My question to you is, from your tours across South Dakota and what you're hearing in D.C., is there any other priorities of significance that you can talk about?
You know, the one you hit it on the head. What I've heard coming across, you know, just in terms of visiting, whether it be at the state fair or, you know, down at Dakota Fest or just in the local restaurants and so forth, is they really want to make sure that we make sure that there is a good crop insurance program in place, that the safety net programs are there. And a lot of people seem to like the safety nets that we've got in place right now. Question is going to be, what do we do with regard to another title perhaps being added to the Farm Bill? And I don't know if you want to talk about that right now or not, but they're talking about adding a 13th title, which would have more conservation-related activities in it. There's money, you know, out of the most recent legislation that might very well end up in the Farm Bill in terms of distribution of those funds. And the other thing that, you know, folks that I talk to out in my part of the country in the, you know, South Central part and so forth, they're really interested in whether or not we're going to be able to get something in there regarding mandatory country of origin labeling, and whether or not we can talk about, you know, with the NRCS, whether or not there's a possibility of maybe making some changes with NRCS so that we got a little bit more of a cooperative approach to some of the wetlands issues.
Senator Rounds, you know, that was actually one of our bulleted items in our Fairness for Farmers initiatives that we're running right now is mandatory country of origin labeling. Such an important issue to South Dakota farmers and ranchers, but also consumers. You know, we've been fighting for it. We had it once before, and I've probably sound like a broken record because I've asked you this probably a bunch of times, but, you know, what do we need to do to actually get this to get pushed through D.C.?
Yeah, you know, the mandatory country of origin labeling would give consumers the ability to find out where their beef is coming from, whether it's coming from another country or whether it's being produced under our safety and health guidelines here in the United States. You know, we live in a country where only 9 states have more cows than people. And that means with 2 senators per state, that's 18 out of 100 that represent truly ag-related interests. So if we want to get anything through, we've got to bring consumers on board with us. And that's starting to happen now because they're concerned about, you know, the origin of where their food is at, the safety conditions and the health conditions under which the food is raised. So we're trying to bring that cooperative effort in. The other part on this that we've got to remember is the last time and the reason why we lost country of origin labeling before it was that we had never agreed in our trade agreements with Canada and Mexico to impose, you know, the mandatory country of origin labeling with regard to beef. And so World Trade Organization basically said, look, if you haven't made that deal, it doesn't matter if you make a law in the United States. It's got to be part of the treaty or the trade related contract. So what the new legislation says in order to avoid that problem is that our trade representatives, when they make modifications to the existing treaties to the trade agreements, that they have to include in their changes mandatory country of origin labeling. And since we're telling them that that has to be included when they make their changes, we'll find out just exactly how valuable that is perceived to be by both Canada and Mexico. We think they're going to come kicking and screaming into it because it really is extremely valuable to them not to have the identifying, you know, the ability to identify that in our favor. So it is valuable, and it's the reason why they're going to be tough to deal with on it, but we've got to include it, and then we'll find out what kind of a cost or what kind of concessions they're going to want in order to get it included. But as long as we tell our trade reps that it's required that it be included or we can't change the trade agreements, Mexico and Canada will come, but I suspect they'll come kicking and screaming.
So maybe a silly question, so forgive me for asking this, but is this something that could be implemented into the Farm Bill as well?
Yes, and I believe that I don't want to speak for Dusty and for John, but I think they both have a real interest in this. And with each of them being on the actual committee itself, they have the ability to help us in this process. Doesn't mean that they can guarantee that it's included, but, you know, they'll have a direct impact on whether or not we at least get a fair fight out of it.
Senator Larry Bergen here again. Dealing with the drought that we are at right now, the importance of crop insurance and the safety net is very important for me. Looking back to 2012, the worst drought we ever had, insurance was awesome, but the Farm Bill, the way it was written, I didn't get any thing in the disaster bill because it went by state averages. And they've done a good job of now in the recent farm bills localizing that more. Is there things we can do to keep improving that? And how solid is the insurance? Are we able to keep that the way it is?
You know, I think it's pretty well received, and it's got good support. And the other folks that I talk to that are part of the ag committees, they seem to feel the same way. Probably the bigger challenge that we're going to have in this is that, you know, the 2018 Farm Bill, it cost about $428 billion for a five-year period of time. Well, the nutrition cost, that's the SNAP program and, the part that a lot of our urban members are really interested in. This is, you know, it's basically the food nutrition programs. That was about 76% of the $428 billion. So it was like $326 billion out. That doesn't go directly to farmers. It goes to, you know, our nutrition costs. Well, for the 2023 Farm Bill, the estimates, the top line estimates right now, are that we're going to have an increase from about $428 billion to about $648 billion. So that's $220 billion more dollars over a five-year period of time. But it looks like, you know, to people on the outside looking in saying, gee, we got a heck of an increase in that farm bill for all those farmers. But $205 billion of the $220 is going to go into nutrition. And so we're only talking about a $15 billion increase over a five-year period of time in which, you know, that's going to go into the farm program at a time in which the input costs, as you know, the input costs have gone out of sight, whether you're talking fertilizer, the cost of seed, or the cost of petroleum products. And so over a five-year period, that's about $3 billion a year. That's not a whole lot of an increase. In fact, the total amount that's going into nutrition is going to go from about 76% of the 2018 Farm Bill to about 82% of the estimated 2023 Farm Bill. Now, I know I'm throwing around a lot of numbers, but the bottom line on this is we're going to end up having to be as efficient as possible under those conditions with, as I say, trying to keep our urban partners on board with us on the new things that we want to include. But the one thing that I think is safe, at least everything it points to it being safe, is that crop insurance program and the commodity programs that are currently in place.
Senator Rounds, it sounds like we only have about a minute left here, but I wanted to just hit on one thing. You discussed that so many farm agricultural input costs are going up. One thing that we can talk to consumers about is just, you know, use more ethanol products in your gasoline. It helps cheapen up the price of gasoline and helps farmers as well. Coming from our national office here, there's been a big campaign on the use of E30 products, and nationwide now we're seeing more use in E15. It just goes so hand in hand, and talking about conservation programs, climate programs. Can you speak a little bit about your stance on ethanol and the use in our whole entire nation's use in ethanol?
You bet. Look, number one, you can take low lead gas on just gasoline at 87, and you can improve the octane by adding ethanol to it. You make it a better fuel by adding that oxygenate. That's good for farmers all the way across, and it's good for the consumer as well. But one thing I'm concerned about is that I have not seen new vehicle manufacturers that still do liquid fuels, which is all of them, and they're going to be doing it for the next, 15 years. They haven't been putting in the flex fuel vehicle engines the way that they were for a period of time. And I think that's going to be a problem for us. And I like the idea of using that E25 and E30 range. That's always what I used to use in my 6.2 engines in my GMCs. And I can't get that engine anymore. And that really concerns me that we're going to have the manufacturers not putting in that flex fuel engine. And I know we can go to 15% and still keep those warranties, I guess, but I'd really like to see a pressure point put on these dealers or on these manufacturers so that more of them are allowing us to use a higher blend of ethanol in their fuel. And, you know, I just can't explain to folks just what a difference that makes in fuel to run from like a 93 octane instead of an 87 octane. And the difference is being put in there by adding ethanol to it. It makes it a better product all the way around. It most certainly helps when you're at a time in which we're starting to import petroleum products again, thanks to policies by this administration. We ought to be doing more American-made products, and ethanol should be right at the top of the list.
Senator Mike Rounds, appreciate you taking time with us this morning. And we've got to pass a torch right now, if it's okay with you, to a South Dakota Farmers Union herd builder. Rope Reese joins me. Now, it says in my notes, Rope, from you, that you're a breeding heifer winner. And you've got a little history in the state fair. You're a freshman. Tell us why this project's so important to you.
I feel like we know a lot of people around there, and it was just really cool to win this, and it was a real great opportunity. So why not take the opportunity when it's given to you?
All right. So tell me about the award. It's the South Dakota Farmers Union Herd Builder Award. I would presume that the thought is to build more herd and to build more information for you as you're doing that.
Yeah. We've started when we were like when we turned eight, the first year we could start showing our grandparents would get us a cow and we'd show it. And then that was the start of our herd. And this was just an opportunity to keep that going.
So tell me what your dream is. Building that herd, is it something you want to do long term after you finish freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and do whatever else? Tell me what your plans are.
Yeah, I'd like to keep it going and be a rancher my whole life, get a big enough herd where it will sustain me through life and keep that going for as long as I possibly can.
You know, one of the things that I think that the Farmers Union and others that get young people involved like you is that they want you to understand that there is more to just the books, just more than having fun. You can actually have something that can let you look long term.
Yeah, I feel like that is true.
So what have you learned already?
It's a lot of work. A lot of work has to go into what you're trying to get to and to make it go long term. If you don't put in the work, you ain't gonna have any reward.
So did you apply for it? Were you one of 60 that applied, one of 7 that applied, or were there just 2 of you and they chose you the winners?
Yeah, I was talking to my Aunt Carla. She said they had like 74 people apply, I think. They'll give you a form. You have to fill it out on why you want to win this heifer, what you'll do with it, what your long-term goal with her is. And I was selected as one of the 3 to get this heifer.
All right. So why were you one of the best 3? Sell yourself to me as to what you did that jumped out and they said, yep, we got to have Rope.
I feel like I just wrote one of the better essays. It's a big essay on I wanted this heifer because I want her to continue through my herd. I know she's a good heifer. I know the people that they sold the heifer, that were selling the heifer to Farmers Union. I know they're a good family. They put out good heifers each year. I feel like she'd just be one of the better ones to put in your herd if you want to continue through life with her.
So what is a good heifer?
One that she ain't mean. She'll have plenty of calves that you want. Usually you like them papered if you want a really good one, if you want to keep bulls and heifers out of her. She's nice. You know she'll be a good cow. Know she'll raise the calf and not give up on it or abandon it when it's born.
My guess is that this heifer isn't going to be the last one you have.
I hope not.
Rope Reese, congratulations on being a winner. Let us know how it comes out. We want to hear a follow-up story. Would you do that for us?
Yep.
Welcome back to the South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Luke Rindle, Larry Bergen, Senator Rounds, and this gentleman. Well, let's check in with Luke Minion this morning. This is one of those days that there's a court hearing, some things at stake as far as Holstone's concerned. Fill us in, Dr. Luke.
Yeah, thanks, Bill, for having me back, and appreciate the opportunity to provide some updates. We continue to move forward as Holstone, despite the opposition. Grateful for the support we're receiving in the Sioux Falls Open for Business campaign to vote no on the ordinance to say yes to Holstone. And so a lot of things going on. As you mentioned, a court hearing today, which, you know, I don't know what the outcome of that will be, but today is the day we'll find out if the city and Holstone face, you know, what the outcome of that opposition, that effort is. And then just quickly here, we have completed the construction of the butcher shop there at that site in Sioux Falls. We plan to have our ribbon cutting the 25th of October, and we'll harvest our first pigs there shortly after. And we're excited to get going on that for our community and the positive things that it represents.
If you will, for those that have not heard much about the Holstone that are listening across the country and across our state, tell us a little bit about what you guys were trying to do, how Fremont was involved, how Holstone and Luke Minion was involved.
Well, Holstone's a company owned by 220 local farm families, and their mission is simple: get the farmer closer to the consumer. And we set out to do that together in a partnership in 2016. And in 2018, Holstone purchased the harvest facility from Hormel Foods in Fremont, Nebraska, that we're grateful to be operating for the last 3.5 years. We have a further harvest facility there in Fremont with about 1,400 people on our team. And then our plan is to build a second plant similar to the one in Fremont in Sioux Falls that we've worked for 4+ years to get the steps in place and permits and permissions and property, and we're looking forward to trying to do that here in Sioux Falls. So Holstone's 220 farmers coming together to get the value-add pork, move the farmer close to the consumer, have a plant in Fremont, Nebraska. We're trying to do a second plant in Sioux Falls. And obviously, Bill, we faced some opposition here as of late from predominantly the Poet Group.
What we were able to talk to the mayor of Fremont about, talked about the process, everything that went down, how polite everybody was with Hormel, and Hormel eventually decided that they would give up the ghost. But for the most part, with the exception of one employee, I believe, everybody came to work for you guys. So it wasn't like you were trying to bring in people from other parts of the world. You had people right there in Fremont that you put to work and today are working today.
Oh, gosh. That true story. We were so blessed and are blessed in many ways, and certainly this is one of them. The team of professionals we have at the plant in Fremont, you know, they were uncertain about us in 2018. Of course, they'd worked for Hormel for a long time prior to Holstone making that acquisition. And so, as anybody can understand, they were uncertain. But through time, we got to know the team, and the team got to know us. And, you know, as you shared, all but one person, and the one person was under a contract with Hormel. They couldn't stay at Holstone. But, yeah, we have a great team in Fremont. We built upon a good culture that Hormel had there. And then some of the things we've done in the community there, I know the mayor and others have shared some of those things here now to hopefully the people in Sioux Falls that want to know more about us. You can learn more. You'll see some ads here soon about the character of the owners of Holstone and the company.
With all the people that we did have a chance to visit with that made the trip down, they had a chance to visit. And one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about is maybe people in Fremont speaking with citizens in Sioux Falls, in addition to the leadership that were on the trip down there. What do you think those people in Fremont would tell them about how Sioux Falls could do with a Holstone plant?
It's always... you know, I don't want to speak for other people, Bill. I know the nature of the question here. It's just, I think this is how it would go. We're a pretty terrific employer. We We pay well. We provide benefits. We provide health insurance. But more important than those things, you know, we care about our team. We care about our community, and our behavior shows that. And whether it's the United Way or the Rotary Club or I can keep going, many of the team members at our plant are involved in the boards of their school, their church, and their community. And I think that's the distinction we want to continue to make for Sioux Falls. We're not an outside group of people coming into town. We're a local farm families that are on your church boards, on your school boards, sending our kids to your community. You know, and all these things matter. I think that's what you'd hear out of Fremont. I know it is, in fact. I know you'd hear that we're a local business. We happen to have some scale because we've worked together as farmers to achieve scale to compete. But don't let our scale confuse you about the personal nature of our ownership.
You've been really serious about this. In all the visits that I've had with you, and obviously I should have had more, but for the most part, I've asked you fair questions. You've given me straight answers, and I don't always get that. And particularly right now where we've got so much at stake with all the things that need done, the vote coming up in 3 weeks. The people that are out there today that can vote, and they see people with close pins on their noses, and that it's all about the smell, is it more than just about the smell?
Well, yeah, and Bill, thanks for the questions and the opportunity to share the story of Holstone, and we try our best to be transparent and forthright. The first issue I just can't help but talk about is our plant's not going to smell. We continue to kind of face this opposition, but people need to appreciate that new technology and new designs, our plant is not going to smell, number one. Number two, this idea of vote no on the ordinance to say yes to Holstone Farms. When we invest in Holstone Farms, $50 million just on odor mitigation, you know, these are investments that we're not fleeing from the concerns. We're addressing them, not only with our designs and our engineering, but our openness and our transparency. And if people take the time to learn, they're going to get confident that this is a wonderful project. And there is a lot at stake, not only for the what our project represents, but for what many other businesses are going to see here, which is if the rules change at this point in the game, it's very concerning for our state and our community.
Luke Minion, if people have questions, how do they get those questions answered? Do you answer them? Is there a group of people that answer them? How should they go about it?
HolstoneFarms.com. You can contact us there. To the best of my ability, I, Luke, have answered everyone that comes. I'll continue to do that as long as they come. And if it gets to be too many, we'll send out more people to answer questions. But I'm happy to answer the questions as they come. Thanks, Bill.
3 weeks to go. We'll keep talking.
Thank you.
And again, a decision today on the butcher shop. Will that happen or not? Follow the news later today. When we get back, we're going to meet the Farm Family of the Month and also another one of the herd builder. And Laura Edwards, she has the state climatologist weather. Time to meet the South Dakota Farmers Union Ranch Family of the Month. We're going to Dewey County. Parade is the name of the town, and I've got Brian and Leah Spiel. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I've been reading all kinds of things about you guys. It's family first, then the ranch, then the boat. Is that true?
That's correct.
Who wants to tell that story?
Well, the story about the boat?
Sure. Start with the boat. That's the fun side.
Yes, we try to have as much fun as we can. So, Brian was driving down the street, found this little boat, decided to buy it, told me about it later. It was probably the best investment he ever made. It's just a little boat, but the boys really had a lot of fun. So we would work really hard on the ranch, and then we would go to the river and make sure the boys got some fun time, too.
Brian, it's kind of nice that you've had land in your family 116 or so years. Is it something that you want to keep the next 116?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's the easy side, but how are you going to do it?
Give it to my kids.
Do the kids want it? Sometimes kids don't always want it.
No, that's correct. That's correct. All of our kids are meshed into the farming and ranching some way or another. Our oldest son is off the farm now, too, and ranch. But, yeah, they all have all values in the farm and ranch community and have the ethics to work in.
Well, the South Dakota Farmers Union is very proud of you guys. They have lots of families, but they said this one is a little unique. Would you agree with that, Leah?
Yeah, we are.
Tell us how so, in addition to the boat, the kids, the fact that the kids can do a lot of rodeoing, a lot of sporting, but also a lot of work.
I think we embrace the country way of life and the work that it takes to be successful, but we don't really dwell on, like, a certain breed or a certain way. We just try to work hard and enjoy what we're doing and not get overwhelmed with farm and ranch.
You know, a lot of places people talk about, well, we'll share a cup of sugar, we'll do this, but you guys actually share equipment. Brian, tell us about that.
Yeah, the neighbors and I get along pretty good as far as that goes. It's in this day and age that you can't afford to own everything. And so we'll, some neighbors will have a sprayer and one will have a combine or whatnot. And during certain times of the year, we just help each other that way. And it just makes it a lot easier to proceed with all your projects.
Leah, from what I read about you, you are the director of a children's group home. That takes a little work as well, but maybe it comes from the heart.
It definitely does. I've always wanted to work with kids, and I've always worked with kids. So working with kids that have less fortunate situations is something that really speaks to my heart.
So if you were speaking from the scripture, for this year, how would you describe, Leah, 2022? Was it right from the heart, or was it something from the Old Testament?
Oh, it's a combination for sure. You know, God just gives us, he just gives us what we need. And as long as we put our hope and our trust in him, things fall into place.
How helpful has South Dakota Farmers Union been as far as bringing people together, helping you guys organize the way you do, and now naming you the Dewey County Ranch Family, Farmers Union Family of the Month?
Well, I don't know. Farmers Union, we just joined like a year ago or so. So it's been a new experience for us. We didn't really realize how much they put into agricultural.
And how much they offer. They offer more things than just a bunch of people sitting around visiting about an association. You can get insurance. You can get about anything through them if you dig deep enough and listen to them.
And so I think they just really have a good realm of what ag is all about, and they're, you know, going to Washington, D.C. was really an eye-opener for us.
Passing the torch to the next generation. Looks to me like you guys do it every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something that was instilled in me when I was young, and my father before him, you know, or before me. It's just the way it is. We don't force them to stay here. It's something they choose, you know, and you have to like it in order to be here.
So what'd you learn out of D.C.?
I just learned how much work it takes to
build
your voice heard.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people with Farmers Union that work really hard.
Brian and Leah Spiel from Parade, South Dakota. We appreciate that. We still have one more of the youngsters that has won. Youngster, she's at SDSU. We'll also check in with Laura Edwards and see what these other two guys have to say about our Farmers Union show. Madison Hofer joins us, Breeding You winner, and this is a part of the SDFU Herd Builder Award. As I understand, You are at SDSU, and this is just one of the steps on the way to you becoming a veterinarian. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
Well, tell us about the ewes and the fact that maybe that wasn't something that your family did much of. I understand you were kind of into goats and pigs and chickens. Is that right?
Yep. I normally just have sheep for showing over the summer, and this is kind of a new project because we've never had a sheep over the winter. And also, this is a wool breed sheep. We almost always have meat breed sheep, so this is definitely a new experience.
So what is your hope with this event? What do you think you're going to learn, and how happy are you to be one of those that was chosen?
I'm really excited to be one that was chosen. I'm hoping to start my own herd now. I've got two now in my herd, two in my flock, and I'm going to learn a lot about, you know, the breeding process and the process of lambing them out, and I think it's going to be a really good learning experience.
Got to tell you a story that I helped raise sheep when I was a youngster in Iowa. And between my dad and his two brothers, we raised 10,000 head of sheep a year. They never had me into breeding. They had me into shearing some of the dead lambs. I didn't get to do anything except carry bales of hay in the snow. My guess is that you have different ideas with the fact that you want to actually take care of them and provide some medical care for them down the road.
Yep. I'm hoping that, you know, this can also be a learning experience since I'm hoping to be a veterinarian, that I can learn a little bit about the medical side of taking care of them, the shots they need, and then, you know, the actual breeding process and how that all works.
First time that you got into the breeding side of the ewe side, what did you expect that you would learn, and how quick did you learn it?
Well, I would expect to learn, you know, just like how it works, I guess. I went through the process of trying to find the ram that I want in case I do want to have, like, sheep to show next year or in years to come.
We appreciate being able to visit with two of the winners. Speaking of a winner, Laura Edwards, South Dakota State climatologist. Did you pick a winning forecast?
Well, I think so.
Well, tell us what you got.
Yeah, you know, it looks like another week of primarily dry weather ahead of us. Some wind to deal with some increased fire risk along with that because it's been so dry. But I think another great week for harvest progress.
So as we look at that, should we be looking too far ahead? Or just let it go, or just kind of plan on an occasional good day?
Yeah, I think we're looking at pretty good conditions, you know, very dry air coming up here after the cold front passes through. And I know it's been dry anyway, so crops are drying down quick out there. But really, I know fields have been very busy, co-ops are busy, and people are getting ready for winter, I think, you know, getting through this harvest.
Laura Edwards, don't have a lot of time left, but we appreciate you straightening us out this morning. Is that good?
Sure, sounds great.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, you guys, we've gone through the hour. We have about a minute or so. What'd you learn this morning, Larry?
Well, just I think people need to support their local cooperatives in honor of Cooperative Month. By supporting your local cooperative, you support your local community, which a lot of these communities really need.
And you, Luke?
Well, just the value of what cooperatives can bring into rural economies in South Dakota. They're a vital part of rural South Dakota, and you know, not only do they provide services, but they provide excellent employment opportunities to those areas as well.
And, of course, we got to talk with Senator Rounds and also talking as well with Luke Minion about Holstone, your thoughts on Holstone.
Yeah, Holstone. You know, I think there's a lot of misconception on this new technology that's available. You know, what you don't know what you don't know. And this new technology is just phenomenal in how it can control odor, and also kind of confusing on the vote no. Luke hit it on the head there, that a no means a yes, basically.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. South Dakota Farmers Union show for the thousands with SDFU. Our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Kello. News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls. FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls. And online at Kello.com.